You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I am Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. Download our free mobile app. There's a digital Bible on there. There's all of our teachings. There's an online community. We've got prayer teams on there. I mean, it's a great resource to have in your pocket and stay connected. If you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications. We don't want you to miss anything as we continue with our study. We are in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27 starts today. And that's it, Matthew 27 and 28, but obviously very, very important time in, the most important time in the history of the whole world, Jesus's crucifixion and his resurrection. And we've been studying the events that are leading up to the crucifixion, and that is ultimately the trial of Jesus. And yesterday, what did we go through? Peter is out in the courtyard of Caiaphas, and he denies Jesus three times, just like Jesus told him, by the way. Jesus could have said, I told you so. But as Jesus is inside, being the victim thereof, a trial, willfully, let's not say he was dragged in there. He willfully went, because as he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have called down, you know, legions of angels to take care of everything, but he didn't. He willfully went to the house of Caiaphas, endured a trial that was absolutely illegal according to Jewish law. And Peter, one of his closest disciples, was outside and ultimately was confronted. And the way we left Peter off yesterday was he was weeping bitterly. Why was he weeping bitterly? Because he turned his back on his best friend. He turned his back on his Lord and Savior. And he, among all of the disciples, was the most brash and boastful, saying he would never do these things, that he would lay down his life for Jesus, and he's cowering outside of the doors where Jesus is on trial, and he is basically running from servant girls, and we see the escalation, right? We see him first denying, then swearing an oath, and then ultimately cursing himself. And what we really hit on yesterday was, although all this anguish is going on, all this self-condemnation, this self-cursing is going on with Peter, that Jesus didn't waver in one moment the way he felt about Peter. And hopefully that helped you to reflect a little bit on your life as to, you know, the way God looks at you, even at your worst times, even when you deny him, even when you make oaths that you have no business making, even when you condemn yourself. He's not condemning you. I'm going to go back to it. 1 John 3:20, when the apostle writes to the early church, when he says that, you know, God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. We condemn ourselves, but he doesn't condemn us. And if we would just get out of our own way and stop condemning ourselves, we could approach him with confidence. And the Christian that can approach the throne of God with confidence, which is the rightful place to be, is one that could be more effective in this world. Amen? So now we see the aftermath of all this. And we're going to take a look at another disciple whom we've come to know very well in our previous studies as well, Judas. And we uncover his, and I will say, unfortunate demise, because it's not what Jesus wanted. And it should be not what we wanted for Judas to be able to have to, you know, be condemned for what he was condemned for. And again, I'm not going to begin to go down the road of whether Judas is in heaven or whether he is saved, or, you know, there's debate about that. He's called the son of perdition in the other gospels. We don't really see evidence of him actually repenting, but it's just not it's a way above my pay grade to make that determination. What I can determine based upon what I know of Jesus and what I know of Scripture is that where there is sin, that grace abounds that much more. So if I get to heaven and I see Judas, I'm high-fiving that dude. I'm just being honest with you, okay? And I hope you are too. Because if we get to the point where we cut someone off from our desire to see them reconciled, then we have to check our own hearts. We've already cut ourselves off from striving for the ultimate grace and mercy and love that we know our God has. Again, I'm not making a determination or a declaration. I cannot do that. I cannot do that. But what I will say is that Judas had every opportunity like Peter did. And I have no idea what Judas uttered with his dying breath, which we'll see here in a second. See it very quickly here. But is our God able and capable of forgiving all things? I believe so. And I hope you believe that too. Because how we view God ultimately reflects on how we view his presence in our own life. And I'm grateful that he forgives me of all my betrayal and all my denial and all the mistakes, even the mistakes I make every single day. And I hope you are as well. So let's get into our study today. We are in Matthew chapter 27. We're going to go verses 1 through 10. Let me expand my screen here so I don't have to rely too heavily on my glasses. All right, let's go. It says, now when the morning had come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans. I'm going to read from my paper Bible here because my screen is cut off. So I'm going to read here. Now, when the morning had come, all of the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away to be delivered up to Pilate, the governor. So in the morning, check this out, the chief priests and the elders decide to, you know, have a proper declaration. Overnight in the illegal trial, they already made the decision to go ahead and condemn Jesus. So what they do is they send him to Pontius Pilate. And you say, well, why didn't they just take him and stone him and put him to death there? They couldn't. Okay, at least that's what's believed historically. See, Rome would control an area and give some sense of self-governance, but there was some things that Rome would keep to itself. And one of the things that is believed here, and it's substantiated with historical record and as well as in the Gospels, is that these Jewish leaders could not, by law, put someone to death. Rome had to do that. And this is most likely a way for Rome to keep its control over the region itself, right? Because if you are the only one that can put someone to death, then you can instill the type of terror that comes along with that and the type of control. Now, from a theological perspective, it's also possible, and this is maybe me speculating a little bit here, but what I see is that the handing off of the Savior for the shedding of innocent blood from the Jewish leaders to the Roman leaders ultimately, right, puts guilt on both Jew and Gentile, right? Think about that for a second. I just chew on that, that perhaps there's a possibility that there is some symbolism there as well. Either way, we know where Jesus is going. He's going to the cross. And he's going to stand before Pilate, and that's what we're going to study tomorrow. He's been standing before Pilate. We're going to study the whole scenario with Barabbas, which is fascinating by itself. So I'm excited about that. But before that, we're going to get back to Judas. And, we have seen Judas now at this point, right? He was close enough to Jesus to be a disciple that was in charge of the money. He was close enough to Jesus to have a seat at the table where he could just reach over and dip the bread with him, right? He was close to Jesus in every single way, traveled with them, prayed with them, probably performed, was involved with the healings and the miracles and all the things when Jesus and, you know, back in Matthew, 11, 12, when he sends out the disciples, Judas was one of those people. He was there from the beginning. And he sold out Jesus for 30 coins. An incredibly low amount for anybody, let alone the Savior of all, let alone God in the flesh. Judas is in big trouble, and he knows it now. And, of course, we know it now. And let's continue reading here. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So here we have the chief priests not even remotely feeling remorse at this point. But Judas is overcome with remorse. And if you remember from our study a couple days ago, the word remorse, broken down in the Latin, is re, which always means back to, and modere, which means bitten, back to being bitten. What Judas did was coming back to bite him. And we all feel remorse. Peter is in the courtyard feeling remorse. But these two take two totally different paths, and that's where I really want to focus today. The two paths between these two. But I want to keep reading here. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and he hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It's against the law for us to put this into the treasury since it is blood money." You want to talk about hypocrisy? It was their money that they gave. And now their money is unclean, so unclean that they couldn't be put into the treasury. I'm going to finish this off because I want to touch on some of the prophecies that were fulfilled here. And then I want to go back to Judas and Peter. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That's why it was called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken by the prophet was fulfilled, Jeremiah. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used it to buy a potter's field as the Lord commanded me. This is also a fulfillment of Zechariah. Okay, both Zechariah and Jeremiah talk about using 30 shekels to buy a field and to basically betray the Lord and Savior. If you read Jeremiah 19, it's crazy. It talks about how it talks about it in the sense of a potter and a pot being broken. And that whole prophecy is basically gearing toward the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened on several occasions, lastly, the 70 AD. And even in that text, I won't get into it now just for the sake of time, it talks about the being so desolate that there was the eating of the flesh of their own children. And I know that's gruesome. I apologize for having to say that. But it is historical record that when the temple was seized, that there was so much famine that went through there, that there were instances of cannibalism, even parents eating their children because it was better to kill them than to have them starve to death. I mean, again, it pains my heart to even talk about it. But this is the desolation that came about at the destruction of the temple, which we studied at length early in our study here. If you go back to Matthew 23, 24, 25, we talk about this extensively, okay? So the purchase of the potter's field with the blood money for the foreigners is a fulfillment of the prophecies in Zechariah and Jeremiah. But let's now turn our attention back to Peter and back to Judas as we, you know, take our last few minutes and close out here. Yesterday, we studied Peter. Peter denies Jesus. And you say, well, it's not the same. He didn't betray him in a way. Listen, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And in the book of James, James talks about how it is under the old covenant, right? You break one law, you break them all. We are all guilty of sin, hamartia, missing the mark. We're all guilty of that, okay? So we have the tale of two disciples here. Peter weeps bitterly after he fulfills Jesus' prophecy of denying him three times. Not only does he deny him, but he takes an oath out that he doesn't know Jesus and ultimately curses himself. Judas takes the money, throws it into the temple, then goes off and he hangs himself. So what is the difference between both of these disciples? Okay, Peter leaves that place and then goes back to other believers and surrounds himself with people that he can trust. Peter, instead of, notice, both feel remorse. I'm going to touch on the teaching from the other day, but they take different paths. Peter takes the path of repentance. Peter goes back to fellowship of believers to be restored. Judas takes the path of regret, not repentance. He regrets what he did, and he isolates himself. So what I felt very compelled to talk about today, because a lot of us feel remorse, and myself included in the past, when I have felt remorse, I can tend to withdraw, regret, and if you remember, the Latin for regret was regretter, back to weeping, right? We put ourselves, how do you know whether you're in regret or repentance? Well, repentance, you are acknowledging the forgiving nature of God, and you are seeking to redeem yourself. You are seeking to live better. Repentance just means turning the other direction and walking back to God. It's what Peter did. Judas went and was so overcome by regret that he ended his own life. And I venture to tell you this morning, both had an equal opportunity for redemption and restoration. And I believe with every fiber of my being that Judas had the opportunity to play a key role in the early church in the very same way that Paul did. If you have any other opposing thoughts to that, reach out to me, let me know. But I happen to believe, as I said earlier in this broadcast, that God's grace is bigger. But it's up to us to walk toward him. It's up to us. Judas did not. And Judas seals his fate, at least on this planet. I'm not going to speak to where he is after this. But he seals his fate, and he ends his future. And the bottom line is, when you cut yourself off from the forgiveness of God, you will face earthly consequences. Now, I believe, and I am a firm believer, that once you are saved, you are always saved. Wrote an article about that on Sound of Heaven. If you want, I'll share that with you. Maybe I'll post that again today. That once you have the redemption of Jesus, then that cannot be taken from you. And I go through a lot of that in Scripture. I did actually a whole show on that in particular. If you want to go back, go to Apple Podcast, Spotify, any of those platforms, and just go back and look for the Once Saved, Always Saved episode. But I just want to speak to those out there that are maybe in a cycle of remorse and regret, and just let you know that God wants you to turn back to him. He wants you to walk back in his direction. We're going to see another chapter, that when Jesus ascends, I hope that doesn't surprise you. Jesus is going to resurrect after he's crucified. I hope that fills you with joy that he doesn't hold Peter's sins against him. He doesn't. And I believe with every fiber of my being, if Judas laid at the foot of that cross, he would have heard the words that Jesus uttered. The first words he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe that God's forgiveness is big enough to forgive anyone. How about you? I ask that as a dual question. How about you? What do you believe about that? And how about you? What are you holding on to regret that's literally poisoning your life? Literally cutting you off from the blessings of God that you could be in because you will not receive his forgiveness. Receive his forgiveness today. Just say that. Say, Father, thank you that you forgive me. If you've got a sin that's weighing heavily on your heart, take a moment and just say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for this. I feel remorse for this. But choose repentance over regret. Regret will lead you to personal destruction. It's no different than unforgiveness. In fact, that's exactly what it is. It's unforgiveness against yourself. Today, I pray that you begin the process of forgiving yourself because you realize how much God forgives you. To be honest, and this is going to sound brash and bold, but who are you not to forgive yourself when God has forgiven you? I hope that resonates with you today. And I hope that you could begin to look at the different pathways between Judas and Peter and say, I choose the pathway of Peter to go back to a place of restoration, to a place of reconciliation. And let that start with getting around people that will stand with you, other believers that will strengthen you and pray for you. And if you're looking for that group of people, it's us at Sound of Heaven Church. Check us out at soh.church. Reach out to me personally. Send me a personal message. I will talk to you. I will connect with you. I don't want you in a place of regret and self-destruction. I want you in a place of reconciliation, of redemption, and walking in your best life. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church, Deer Park, New York. I want to pray with you before I go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray everybody within the sound of my voice would come to know your love, would come to know your forgiveness, would come to know that they can be free of any bondage, including the bondage of regret and shame and doubt and self-doubt, because you've given them a future and a hope, Lord God. That is your plan for them. If you agree with that, just say, I receive that today in Jesus' mighty name. Again, Pastor Jay, Sound of Heaven Church. This is the 1% Christian. We got together for a few minutes. Now go out and do something amazing for Christ's sake. We'll continue Matthew 27 tomorrow. I love you guys. Have an awesome day.